You know, the Bible is a book with many, many questions. Like the one that God asked in the Garden of Eden after man had disobeyed him and ate the fruit, where God asked the question, Adam, where art thou? Or like the question that Elijah asked on Mount Carmel when he's trying to get the people to choose the God that they were going to serve, either the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Baal. Elijah asked the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? If Baal be God, then serve Baal, but if God be God, then serve him. Or the question that Jesus asked on Calvary, when God placed on his Son all of our sins. And because of that, for the first time in all of eternity, God the Father had to turn his back on his Son. Jesus asked the question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Bible has a lot of questions, but praise God, it not only has the questions, it has the answers as well. This morning, I want to preach a sermon entitled, The Most Important Question and the Most Important Answer in the Bible. And there's many to choose from. Many important questions, but if I was going to pick the most important question in the Bible, it would be the question that is in the verse that we read a moment ago, Acts chapter 16, verse 30. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And of course, the most important answer in the Bible is the answer that was given to that question in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so this morning, I want to say three things about the question. I'm going to say two things about the answer. So this is one of those bonus sermons. Usually you only get 3 points. This morning you are getting 5. So hang on, here we go. This is the most important question in the Bible, number one, because of the subject or the concern of the question. What must I do to be saved? The concern of the question. The subject of the question is salvation. And when we think of that word saved, we think of being rescued from something. We think about danger. We think about falling, the possibility of falling into that danger and somebody grabbing us or holding on to us to keep us from falling into that danger. We are never rescued from nothing. If there's nothing that threatens you, then there's no need for you to be rescued. There's no use need for you to be saved. So this question is the most important. Excuse me, I got to stop and take a drink of water. I'm losing my voice. But this question is the most important in the Bible because its subject is salvation. All right, so what are we saved from? What does salvation save us from? The Bible talks more about that than it does any other subject in the Bible. What are we saved from? We are saved from eternal separation from God. We are saved from a literal place called hell. We are saved from that place that's a pit where the fire burns, where the worm dieth not. We are saved from weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. I told the folks that were gathered at the graveside yesterday, we can't compare ourselves to one another because every single one of us, sooner or later, will find somebody that's worse than we are. Somebody that we can point to and say, hey, God, I'm better than that person. That person is a worse sinner than I am. And every single one of us, some of us would have to look longer than others, but every single one of us, you can laugh, but every single one of us, sooner or later, will find somebody that's worse than we are. But God says, don't compare yourself to one another. Don't compare yourself to another man. Compare yourself to my standard of perfection. His standard of perfection is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are honest and we compare ourselves to his standard, to the Lord Jesus Christ, we come up far short. That's what that verse says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, before Jesus came, God's standard of perfection was the Ten Commandments. And you would think it would have been easier for mankind to measure up to the Ten Commandments than it was to the perfection of God's Son. But we failed when it came to the Ten Commandments. We as mankind cannot even keep the Ten Commandments. And again, I don't have time to go through all 10 of them. I'll just give you a couple of them that every single one of us break one time or another. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Or as we would say it today, thou shalt not lie. If there's a person here that's never told a lie, stand up. See? Another one, and again, we're all sinners. I mean, that's everybody's included. Another one that all of us have broken at one time or another is the fifth commandment, where the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Honor includes obedience. Honor includes respect. Honor includes loving mom and dad. And all of us, one time or another, were disobedient to mom and dad. All of us, one time or another, did not show our parents honor. You know what the book of James says? The book of James says that if we break the law in one point, we are guilty of all. So that means the person that tells that little white lie that they think nobody will notice is just as guilty as the person that commits murder or steals something. And that person that doesn't honor their parents in God's sight is just as guilty as the adulterer. So we're all sinners. The Bible says there's a penalty or a wage for sin. And that the penalty for sin, the wage of sin is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death. I mean, if life just consisted of the years that we spend on this earth and that's it, that would be one thing. But there's a part of you that's never going to die. I was talking to a little girl yesterday we buried the ashes of Nick's grandfather. And one of his little, I guess, great nieces or something was at the graveside, and the guy was putting the dirt on top, and he was just stomping the dirt down. And this little girl said, don't step on my grandpa. And I told her, I said, well, he's not stepping on your grandpa. That's just the ashes of your grandpa. And I grabbed her by the shoulder, and I said, you know, this right here is not you. This is just your body. You are inside of this body. One of these days, your body and my body is going to die. But we're not going to die. Because there's a part of us, our soul, that's going to live forever. It's going to live forever. And we're either going to go live forever with God, or we're going to go live forever in the place where God doesn't live. And let me just be direct so nobody thinks I'm afraid to talk about it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to live forever in hell. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. And there are people today that think, well, hey, God, the loving God would never send anybody to hell. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible says that if we reject Jesus Christ, if we never receive Him, the wages of sin is death. And that death is separation from God in that place called hell. This is the most important question in the Bible because its subject is salvation. How am I saved from hell? How am I saved from eternal separation from God? How am I saved from the bottomless pit where the fire never dies, where the worm never dies, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? How am I saved from that? That's what makes it the most important question. I want you to notice number two. The question says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? To effect this salvation, to bring it about, to bring about this rescue from this place called hell, what must I do? You see, you have to do it. Your dad can't do it for you. Your mom can't do it for you. Your grandpa can't do it for you. Your grandma can't do it for you. Your grandchild can't do it for you. You have to do something. My grandfather, my grandpa Manning, and when I was growing up and a little kid, he was my best friend. He was my best friend. He loved baseball. I loved baseball. He loved to eat. I loved to eat. Grandma would have everybody over for dinner on Sunday afternoon, Grandpa and I would always get done first. We go up and start the dishes because we knew that his daughters would feel sorry for him, that their dad was doing the dishes, and they would come up and push us out of the way and take over. We just knew it. I learned everything. Well, I won't say that. I was going to say I learned everything about girls from my grandpa, but I learned some other things from other people. But anyhow. And then after we got dismissed from doing the dishes, we'd go on the TV. He would sit in his chair. I would sit at his feet. We'd turn on the baseball game, Dizzy Dean and Pee Wee Reese. Those of you that are old enough to remember that, they would be announcing the Sunday afternoon baseball game. He would fall asleep in his chair. I could hear him snoring. I would sit there and watch the baseball game. One Friday morning, my dad came upstairs to my brother in my bedroom, said, "Your grandpa was killed in a car accident this morning. I lost my best friend. As far as I know, my grandpa was never saved, because I wasn't saved until about 4 years after that. I wish I could go back and get saved from my grandpa. I wish I could do something today to make sure that he wasn't in hell, but that he was in heaven. I can't. No more than your dad or your grandpa or your mom or your grandma or anybody else in your life that loves you. No more than your pastor or your Sunday school teacher. Anybody else in your life that loves you. Nobody can do it for you. You have to do it for yourself." I've said many, many times, I wish God would have set it up a different way. I wish that I could get saved for somebody I loved. I wish that I could get saved. I've seen many, many teenagers that I've talked to about the Lord Jesus Christ that have had other things on their mind that have clouded them from the truth, and they've rejected Jesus Christ. I've wished hundreds of times that I could make the decision for them and receive Christ for them, but I can't do that. No one in your life can do that. What must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas. And then the third thing I want to say about the question is this. It's the most important question in the whole Bible, because it's a question that you need to ask to keep yourself out of hell. I don't know why anybody would want to go to hell. I don't know why anybody would choose to go to hell. Who would want to go to a pit when you could walk on a street of gold? Who would want to go to a place of darkness when you could go to a place where there is no night? Who would want to go to a place that is inhabited by Satan and his demons when you could go to a place where God lives with the angels? Who would want to go to a place where the fire never dieth and the worm never dieth, instead of a place where there's going to be mansions and crowns? Who would want to go to the place and live for eternity with Satan when you could go to heaven and live for eternity with God? The most important question in the Bible is, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now listen to the most important answer. The most important answer that's given to any question in the Bible: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I want to say two things about that answer. The key to the rescue, the key to salvation, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the church. It's not baptism. It's not the Lord's Supper. It's not a priest. It's not the Virgin Mary. It's not confession. It's not good works. It's not good looks. The key to salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. The one who died in my place. The one who Angie sang about, his life for mine. The one who took the slaps and the punches and the beating with rods. The one who took the crown of thorns. The one who took the cat of nine tails. The one who carried the cross to Golgotha's hill. The one who was nailed to it. The one who paid for my sins as Jesus hung on that cross. The book of Isaiah says that God took every one of my sins and every one of your sins and laid them on his Son. Again, causing God the Father for the first time in all eternity to turn his back on his Son. Causing Jesus to cry out from the cross. And I believe it was that moment that he purchased our salvation, because it was that moment he experienced our hell for us. For the first time he was separated from God. For the first time he paid the price of sin. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That's what we deserve. That's what our sin bought us. That's what the penalty of sin is: separation from God. And on the cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, suffered the separation from God for us. It all starts with him. It all ends with him. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Jesus is the key. What do I need to do? Here's the second thing I want to say about the answer. And it's simple. I need to believe. I need to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We talked about it in Sunday school. God told Abram to do something. Made him some promises if he'd do those things. The Bible says that Abram believed God. It's the same word, even though it was written in Hebrew, as this word is in the Greek. It means absolute assurance. It means absolute certainty. It means absolute reliability. It means that I am completely, wholly, totally, however you want to say it, convinced. Convinced that I am a sinner. I am completely convinced that God has every right to send me to hell because I am a sinner. I am completely convinced that when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he bore my sin. I am completely convinced that if I ask him, he will save me from that punishment that I deserve. Wipe away all the sin off of my record. Write on my record the righteousness of Jesus Christ and give me a home in heaven. And when Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer in answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they were talking about. To have an absolute certainty that I'm a sinner, there's a penalty for that sin, Jesus paid the price. And if I come to him and ask him, trust him, believe him, he'll save me. He'll save me. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's what it means to believe. I'm persuaded, totally persuaded, totally convinced that the price he paid on Calvary is the price of my salvation. And that if I ask him, he'll save me. And so, the most important question in the Bible, what must I do to be saved? The most important answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So let me ask you, as Adam sang in his song this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? The next thing that's going to happen on God's calendar, and I don't know when it's going to happen, nobody knows but the Father. We're going to hear a trumpet. We're going to hear a voice from heaven that says, come up hither. And everybody that knows Jesus Christ will be caught away, will be raptured. There'll be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. There'll be two women in the kitchen. One will be taken, one will be left. The question of the hour, the question right now, the question that every single person has to ask before they leave this place. And I know some of you say, hey, I didn't come here to answer any questions. You're not going to put me on the spot. I'm not putting you on the spot. God's putting you on the spot. The Holy Spirit of God's putting you on the spot. You can't leave without answering this question one way or another. Are you ready? You are ready if you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. You're ready. When that trumpet sounds, you're going to be taken. But if you're not ready, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're going to be left. The Bible says, today, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Are you ready? If you're not ready, you need to get ready today. You need to get ready now. You say, preacher, I didn't come ready to make this decision about being saved or not. It doesn't matter. God knew you were going to be here. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you right now. The Holy Spirit's telling you, hey, that guy knows what he's talking about. He's preaching the Bible. That's the Bible. That's the truth. You need to be saved. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. If the trumpet sounded right now, you'd be left behind. You need to get ready. You need to go ask Jesus to be your Savior. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You say, well, I'm not going to answer the question. Yes, you are. Because if you are here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior and you walk out of this place in that same condition, you're answering the question. You're saying no. No. So don't sit there and think for a minute that you can get by without answering the question. You're going to answer the question with a yes or with a no. Now, thank God most of us here this morning, we've already answered that question. There's a time in our life where we realized we were a sinner. And there was a penalty for that sin, and we came to Jesus, and he saved us. But if you're here and you've never done that, please, 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 get ready this morning. Come to Jesus. He's the only one that can save you. And again, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I think those are pretty good things in time. I'm asking you to get into the family of God. The Bible says, but as many as received him, Jesus Christ, to get them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's what I'm asking you to do this morning. I'm asking you to trust what that book says. I'm asking you to trust what this preacher says. I'm asking you to trust what this church stands for. We stand on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope for heaven. Would you this morning believe on him? Would you? The Bible invites you to do that. The Holy Spirit invites you to do that. This church invites you to do that. I invite you to do that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the warning that it gives us to be ready. Thank you that it tells us how to be ready. And I pray for every single person here this morning. I pray, Father, first of all, for those who don't know if they're ready or not. I pray you'd help them understand that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid it. And he offers to everyone the gift of eternal life. And if they'd simply, right where they sat, bow their heads and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I believe when you died for me. And right now I'm asking you to save me. Right where they sat, Father, they can pray that prayer. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would help them do it. I pray in just a second that when we have this time of invitation that they would come and they would share with us that they prayed that prayer, so that we could rejoice with them. And Father, if there's still doubts, if there's still something they don't understand, I pray in just a second when we stand to sing, they would come and we could help them. We could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, thank you for all the Christians that are here. Help us leave this place rejoicing this morning because we have been saved. We have been saved from hell. We have been saved from everything that makes up hell. We're one of your children. Help us to rejoice. Father, please bless this invitation. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. Speak to minds. Help them to understand that now, today, this moment is their moment of salvation. Help them to act. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.